From the Tulsa World, this is the OU Sports Extra Podcast, sponsored by Albert G's Barbecue. Here are your hosts, Eric Bailey and Mason Young.
All right, Mason, it is Texas week. Both teams 5-0. We're here. We wondered if both teams would be undefeated after going into last week. They are, first time since 2011. It's been exciting ever since the end of the Iowa State game, as soon as the gun went off to finish that game. And I can't wait. I'm ready. I'm pumped. How excited are you for this game?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of the greatest rivalries in college football. There's really no other way to say it. You think about, one side of the stadium being red and the other side being orange, and just seeing the passion that goes into this game from a fan base perspective, and just also the atmosphere around it, right? Obviously, the Cotton Bowl is an older stadium, but kind of nostalgic. You got the State Fair of Texas right around it, and all eyes are going to be on this game. ESPN College Game Day is going to be there. It's going to be broadcast on ABC. So this is a big one for sure. It really doesn't get outside of the college football playoff. It really just doesn't get much bigger than this.
How many of these games have you done now? How many of these have you been to?
Yeah, this weekend will be my fourth OU Texas. So as a student covering OU for OU Daily, I went to three my sophomore through senior years as a student at OU. So I was there in 2020 for the COVID game with like pretty much half capacity and four overtimes, Spencer Rattler getting benched and then coming back to lead OU to a win. And then, you know, I was there in 2021 too, when he gave up the job to Caleb Williams, and Caleb Williams led OU's epic comeback from down 28-7 to win that game. And I had the unfortunate pleasure of being there last year as well for the 49-0 loss, Dylan Gabriel-less loss, where OU pretty much ran the wishbone. So we're looking forward to seeing a little bit better. No knock on Braden Willis. He did his best as the Wildcat quarterback, but looking forward to seeing a little bit better quarterback play on both sides this coming week.
Man, that 2020 game, 53-45, the four overtime game, Drake Stoops with the big catch, that was incredible. The comeback game, man, Caleb Williams, I think that was his coming out party for college football. That was the one where, here's Caleb Williams. That was incredible. And hats off to Spencer Rattler, because he did have to come back and make a two-point conversion in that game. But that was Caleb Williams, his coming out party. And, of course, last year, 49-0, that was one of those games where we were just looking at each other, waiting for the game to be over. You know, my first game, interesting story. The very first OU Texas game I went to was as a fan. I just wanted to go to the game. I worked at the Springfield News Leader. I hate to say it. I don't know if you were born. I'm going to age myself here. It was year 2000, national championship year for the Sooners. Me and a buddy just wanted to go down to the game. So in 2000, we drove down to Dallas without tickets. We just went down there to the game. And me being a rookie, we said, okay, let's go down. Kickoff's at 11. We'll drive down around 10. You know, we'll give us an hour to get down there. Hit traffic. So we get into the fairgrounds. Don't know where to park. Walk into the gates. The game's already started. And you know, we're trying to find, we don't have tickets. So we walk in. And the game's already started, and we don't have tickets. We don't know. We know the game's going on, and Oklahoma's already up 28-0. You remember the final score was 63-14 that year. This was Red October. So I walk in, and I don't have tickets. And there's some Texas fans outside the gate, and they're just already disgusted. They know they have tickets, but they haven't been in yet. And I go, do you want to sell your tickets? And they said, yeah, we'll sell our tickets. In fact, we'll sell them at face value, because we're not going to go into this mess. How much do you think face value tickets were in the year 2000? Now, I don't know how much they are now. I should have looked this up before I started this story. I don't know how much face values are this year. I think they're probably around 175, I'm guessing. That's just a guess. But how much do you think face value tickets were in 2000?
I may be lowballing here, but let's just say 50.
45. I bought $45 tickets in the year 2000. The game was 28-0. We walked in. I had no idea. They're Texas fans. I had no idea where the tickets were. I knew I probably had to be sitting in the Texas side. They were on the 50-yard line. They were perfect. And they were right near the stripe where the OU fans and Texas fans were. So when we got in there, oh, it was the best game ever. So, we had great, great seats, and it was fun. We got to sit and watch a great game. And that was my very first OU Texas fan. I was just a fan. I just got to sit and watch the game. It was great. Second time I went was 2008. I covered Tulsa football then, but Tulsa played SMU that night. So they had a 7 o'clock kick at SMU, and OU Texas was an 11 a.m. kick. So Oklahoma Texas, I would cover the Oklahoma Texas game with John Klein. We did a morning game. I wrote the web story for the Tulsa World, and then I left the fairgrounds and covered Oklahoma or TU SMU that night. So I did two games. I had a doubleheader, day-night doubleheader football. So I did that, and then I started the OU beat in 2012 with Garen Emig and John Hoover, and then I've been there ever since. So I've seen some really, really good games in the Cotton Bowl. So I'm looking forward to this year. And let's talk about this year's game now. Got a little nostalgic there. Thanks to everyone for letting me go down memory lane.
No, that was awesome.
It's interesting now. I started in 2012. I've never seen two unbeaten teams play in this game since I've been a beat writer. It's amazing to say. I've seen some good games. I've seen some good teams. I've never seen two unbeaten teams play each other in the regular season. I get to see that this year. So I'm excited. I really am. And the stakes are high, not only for Big 12, but also for college football playoff. Also, Heisman. We got two Heisman candidates at quarterback. How excited are you to see these offenses play each other? Not only these offenses, but these defenses. These defenses are pretty stout.
Right. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because I think, and we've seen over the past couple of years, especially within the last five, some of the best Red River rivalries are where it's just a shootout. It's just both offenses slinging the ball all over the field, receivers making crazy catches, quarterbacks asserting themselves, stepping onto the national stage. I think that's the best component of it. I kind of wonder how high scoring this will be with how much better these defenses at least seem to be. But, Jeff Lebby and Steve Sarkisian are both such good play callers that, you know, maybe that kind of negates the progress on defense a little bit. Maybe you see them get really creative and maybe expose these defenses in ways that other teams haven't exposed them so far on their schedule. So we're going to find out a lot about OU both sides of the ball, right? Is Dylan Gabriel ready for this atmosphere, and can he continue to show the poise that he's shown throughout the season so far, playing in such a big game with such high stakes? And yeah, is OU's defense as good as we think they are? You know, we've seen a lot of improvements so far, a lot less missed tackles. Obviously, the turnovers have been big. They have 10 interceptions on the season already and a few fumble recoveries. But yeah, we're gonna find out quite a bit about this OU team for sure.
My story in the Tulsa World today was about poise, quarterback poise. Both quarterbacks have it. Dylan Gabriel's thrown two interceptions this year. Quinn Ewers for Texas has only thrown one. And that's going to be the key to whatever team has success. Both offenses are outstanding, but poise is incredibly important in a game like this. And as the quarterback goes, the team's going to go. Quinn Ewers only threw one interception. His first one came against Kansas last week in a big game. And that's the key. I mean, and you're looking at Quinn Ewers, who played against OU last year, had success against the Sooners as a true freshman. Dylan Gabriel, this is going to be his first time in this game. Of course, was injured last year. It was in concussion protocol after taking a big hit against TCU the week before. So I think that's something like this. But Brent Venable said, you know, he doesn't want Dylan Gabriel to go in there and try to do too much. You know, don't put on the Superman cape. He doesn't want those guys to go in there and try to go outside the box. He wants to continue to do what he can do and just try to go out there and manage the game. Don't try to be too much. And I think that's the key. And I think Dylan Gabriel understands that as well. He's got playmakers around him. Just try to do what he can. Now, that being said, it's going to take those playmakers to make plays. And the impact the running game has to have in this game is key. I think that that's important for the Sooners. We still haven't seen just a consistent run game, and this Texas team is hard to run against. And I think that's going to be important because Oklahoma cannot become one-dimensional in this football game. I think that's what Texas wants Oklahoma to do. I know Oklahoma has been successful throwing the football, but I think they're going to have to figure out a way to run the ball. Marcus Major looked decent last week in the win against Iowa State, but I still think there just needs more consistency running the football, and I still haven't seen that go-to back yet. I still think 5 games in, they still haven't found that, and I think everyone just has to accept the fact Oklahoma is what it is running the football.
Yeah, I think there's a couple other layers to that. Obviously, you mentioned the importance of it. I did a breakdown of this in something I wrote last week, but if we look at all the OU Texas games since 2000, in 19 of those 23 games, the team that's run for more yards has won the game. So there is definitely some sort of correlation there to running the ball and controlling the clock. And in this game, it's paramount. From my perspective, I agree. I think Marcus Major has done some good stuff. He's shown some physicality, but they need greater consistency from him play to play. I would really like to see them give Tommy Walker a chance in this one. You look at he's averaging 5.1 yards per carry, and that's still – it's not exactly, but it's close to a yard more than the next OU running back. I just think you got to give him a chance. With what he put on tape against SMU and even the other night against Iowa State, he had the longest run of the night, and it got called back. I think there was holding or something and got brought all the way back. But he still seems like – OU's best running back, even though his snaps continue to decline ever since that SMU game. It's really kind of been bewildering. But I would give him a chance this week. I would give him the ball and see what happens.
The offensive line, I think that's the key too. And this is like, again, we talk about this defensive front for Texas. I think it's important. It's paramount that this offensive line has their best game too. When we talk about the run game, and one thing that the offensive line has done well is they've kept Dylan Gabriel clean. I think top of my head, I think they've only allowed 2 sacks through 5 games. That's been outstanding for by this offensive line. And when we talk about the pass game, let's talk about the receivers. I mean, this has been going into the season, and we've talked about this a couple of times this year. We wondered who was going to be the go-to player, what was going to happen at the receiver position. He's had Dylan Gabriel's had a multitude of playmakers at the position. You know, Nick Anderson, Jaden Gibson, we can just go down the line. Andrew Anthony, just guys that he's been able to link up with. And we had a new guy in Brennan Thompson. And he could be the X factor in this game going against his former teammates. It was funny. I had a chance to talk to his former teammates during Big 12 Media Days. And I wrote about this earlier in the week. I pulled a couple of those guys aside during Big 12 Media Guys and, hey, tell me a little bit about Brennan Thompson, who came to Oklahoma. What do you remember about him at Texas? And Xavier Worthy told me fast, super fast. And it's amazing. They had a lot of respect for his speed. And I think that's a new toy for Jeff Levy to play with in terms of stretching defenses, stretching fields. And I know that Texas secondary is aware of him when he comes on the field, how much he can stretch a defense. And maybe that opens up a little more things underneath, too, when he comes on the field. So I'm kind of curious how Jeff Levy uses him, if he uses him, even if it's just a decoy to stretch the field a little bit at the receiver position. But I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what happens more with Brennan Thompson on the field moving forward. We saw the 54-yard reception against Iowa State last week.
Absolutely, yeah. It was interesting to find out after the game that he had had an ankle injury, and that's why he wasn't playing. I guess I just kind of figured that he just had kind of gotten lost in the shuffle. But, yeah, it seems like he could be a really big weapon for OU the rest of the season, especially downfield, just with his speed, his ability to – blow by whoever's covering him. I think the guy I'm excited to watch in this one too is Nick Anderson. I mean, he's just on a roll right now. Wow. Five touchdowns in the last 3 games, and it's from all over the place. He's a weapon in the red zone, catching touchdown passes in short yardage situations. He can catch them, you know, sometimes against Tulsa. You know, he showed there were a couple where he either caught a deep ball in the end zone or, you know, he caught a shorter pass, but then he, you know, he shook 2 or 3 defenders to get to the end zone, you know, fighting through contact or just running by guys. I think his ceiling is just insane in terms of what he could be by the time it's all said and done in his OU career. And, you know, I think if he has a really good game in this game, then you just feel that much better about him. So excited to see what he does in this one on Saturday.
Oklahoma, you know, we look at the offense, how it rolls. I think it's one of those things, too. They're just going to have to take advantage of every scoring possibility. I know you asked about, you know, it's going to be important to score touchdowns when you get in the red zone. And we look at Texas red zone defense. They're one of the best in red zone defense in the country. They're top five in red zone defense. So I think not only do you have to settle for or score touchdowns and not settle for field goals, you got to find points. And I think that's going to be so important, finishing drives. And Oklahoma has been able to do that so well. So I think that's going to be so important this weekend, is just to finish drives with points, with touchdowns. You know, celebrate the touchdowns if you get them. But you got to make field goals. And you were able to ask Brent Venables about Zach Schmidt. Talk a little bit about Brent's answer to your question about Zach Schmidt.
Yeah, I mean, I just am kind of curious, was curious about how he feels about the kicking game going into this one. You know, a lot of times it comes down to that. We think about Cameron Dicker making the game winner late. I think that was the 2018 game with against Kyler Murray. It often comes down to that. And obviously, you know, Zach Schmidt had a miss against Iowa State the other night. That's now within the last 2 years, that's seven missed field goals for him. And also from a punting perspective, you know, Josh Plaster has had some games where he absolutely booms them. And there's been some other times where, you know, it's not what you're looking for. It's a little bit shorter, and, you know, you put your defense kind of with their backs against the wall with the field position you're giving them to start with. So ask Brent Venables about that. And, you know, obviously, I mean, he's going to convey confidence in those guys, and, you know, by and large, you know, those guys are doing a good job. I mean, Zach Schmidt's 6-for-7, and, you know, Plaster is, you know, a first year punter for this team. That's, you know, it's big shoes to fill when you're coming in after Michael Turk, who's, you know, one of the best punters OU's had in a long time, and was consistently pinning other teams deep and averaging, you know, 45 yards per punt. So, you know, those guys by and large, yeah, they're doing a good job. I think it's just a consistency thing. And so, you know, Brent Venables said, you know, we're going to need those guys. They're going to be a big part of this game on Saturday. And I think we very well may see that play out, whether it's, you know, them needing if they get a three and out, you know, them needing a really good punt from Plaster to give their defense a chance and not, you know, set up Texas with good field position, or if it's, you know, Schmidt kicking a field goal in a pivotal moment. They're going to need those guys to rise to the occasion.
Let's switch to Oklahoma's defense. And one last thing about Texas's defense. We talk about Oklahoma's defense playing well. They've only allowed 54 points all season. Texas only allowed 64 points all season. So this Texas defense is just as good as Oklahoma's. But Oklahoma's defense, this is going to be the toughest offense they probably faced all year. And I think that's going to be the key. And it starts, you know, it was funny. Brent Venables talks about taking off the head of the snake. That's what he always, that's what he talked about Baker Mayfield. He said when Venables was at Clemson defensive coordinator, he said in 2015, when they played Clemson, he said, we need to take off the head of the snake. And that was Baker Mayfield. Well, he said, Texas has plenty of heads of the snake they have to take off this year. And this this Texas offense starts with the quarterback. I've really been impressed with Quinn Ewers, with what he's been able to do. You know, it was funny. Everyone talked about Arch Manning and can he be the quarterback this year? As you know, we haven't seen Arch Manning this year. I mean, there's no reason to see Arch Manning this year. Quinn Ewers has really been effective this year. 97 to 147, only one interception, throwing 10 touchdown passes, one interception, went into Tuscaloosa, got a win. How many quarterbacks can say that? And it looked impressive in Tuscaloosa. So this is going to be a quarterback that goes in there, and he's not going to be intimidated by what happens in the Cotton Bowl, especially after last year. And it starts with him. I think Oklahoma has to focus on him. And he's got a lot of weapons around him. Xavier Worthy. And, you know, we haven't even talked about Jatavion Sanders, the tight end, who just makes big plays. And they got a great running game with Jonathan Brooks. ran for 200 plus last week against Kansas. This is an offense that ran for 300 and threw for 300 against the Jayhawks last week, comes in with a ton of confidence. This is going to be a challenge for Oklahoma's defense.
Yeah, I think there's a couple different matchups that interest me most. Obviously, I guess people probably kind of wondered, you know, how would Texas's ground game be this year with an all-star running back and Bijan Robinson leaving, but Jonathan Brooks has stepped in and done a really good job. He's a really physical back for them. OU's defensive line, has been pretty good throughout the first few games of the season. They, some of the guys that they brought in from the transfer portal, Jacob Lacey from Notre Dame, Dejon Terry from Tennessee, they've added some real size and physicality to the defensive line and have been pretty disruptive in there. But I believe Iowa State had the most rushing yards of any team OU's faced this season in that game. And that maybe does open up a little bit of a cause for concern about, you know, is this defensive line ready to compete with what should be an even better offensive line and running back situation in Texas? So that'll be a matchup to watch for sure. I wrote about Woody Washington and OU's corners yesterday, but the corners going up against Texas's receivers. You mentioned Xavier Worthy, but also A.D. Mitchell and Jordan Whittington are two really talented receivers for Texas. And you got Sanders, the tight end, as you said. But Woody Washington is, besides Woody Washington, he's obviously played in this game twice. I don't believe he played in the 2021 Red River Showdown because he was hurt. But aside from him, Gentry Williams is the only other cornerback on this roster that has played in this game. And he only played 10 snaps last year in the 49-0 loss. So you got a lot of guys, whether it's the NEO transfer Kendall Dolby or it's Kaniah Walker, or it's one of the freshmen that's getting time, Jacoby Johnson, Makari Vickers, Josiah Wagner, we saw a little bit more against Iowa State. You got a lot of guys that don't have experience in this game and in this atmosphere that are now going to be facing probably some of the best receivers they've ever guarded in their careers so far. So obviously Woody Washington is going to be paramount in keeping those other guys calm and making sure they don't overreact or freak out. Obviously his veteran presence in general has been very big for OU this year, just being the leader of that group and bringing the rest of those guys along. And, you know, teams aren't throwing at him. He's a real deterrent. I want to say out of like 170 snaps he's played in coverage this year, they've only targeted the receiver he's guarding like 17 times. It's like 10% of his snaps. They're really just not going after him because he's that consistent in his coverage. It's the reputation he's earned over these last, you know, 3 years of being one of the better corners in the Big 12. And so these other guys that are on the opposite side of him, whether it's Gentry Williams or it's Kendall Dolby, they're going to be tested in this game. You know, Texas is going to like that matchup and they're going to probably go after and try to exploit that. And so how do they stand up to that in a big game like this, covering some of the best receivers they've ever faced and everything that this atmosphere can also bring to the psychological side of the game?
The crazy thing when you think about not throwing against Woody Washington is this defense still has 10 interceptions, which leads the nation, tied for the nation lead. Woody Washington doesn't have an interception. But when you're throwing the ball around, you have 10 other interceptions within that secondary, within that defense. So that's a crazy stat when your top defensive coverage guy doesn't have an interception, but there's 10 others floating around back there. It says a lot about this team defense that they're playing. When we look at the stats too, here's another stat that really sticks out to me going into this game. Texas is one of the nation's leaders with 11 rushing touchdowns going into this game. Oklahoma has not allowed a rushing touchdown this season. Only one of only two schools that have not allowed a rushing touchdown. The other one, Iowa. So that's a stat that, you know, something's got to give in this game, I think. I think there's going to be something that's got to give. Will Texas find a way to score a rushing touchdown? Will Oklahoma hold up and not allow a rushing touchdown? So we'll see what happens in that that aspect as well. You mentioned a lot of the first-year players taking part in this game, and it could be a fifth-year senior. Rondell Bothroyd, I think about guys like him that had never played in this game, that, you know, played far away. You know, Wake Forest is so far away from this game. They're going to get a taste of this game. That's the kind of guys I want to see. What's it going to be like for guys like that? Guys like Jacob Lacey, guys that are far, far away from this. Andrew Anthony, guys that you know rivalries, but don't know this type of rivalry. That's what I want to see. I want to see what it's like to taste that. I mean, they're hearing about it. You know, coaches and players who have played in this game can only say so much about this game and can only hype this game up so much. What's it like to actually walk on the field and taste it and feel it in the pregame, even the bus ride on into the fairgrounds? You can hear all about it, but until you taste it, what's that going to be like? That's what I'm curious. And that you know, with so many transfers and so many, you know, with the portal and everything, I'm really curious how that's going to be. And how do you keep your emotions in check? I think that's what we've talked to a lot of the players. Well, I say a lot of the players. We only talked to four this week. Brent Venables really tightened things up in the media. He wants, you know, that was an interesting answer that he had, because George Stoya over at Sooner Scoop asked Brent point blank, how come we only talked to four? Remember, 2 weeks ago, we got 16 players, and we only got four. We got Drake Stoops, McCabe Matwire, Dylan Gabriel, and Woody Washington. That was the only four players we talked to this week. And Brent said that he knew that we were going to ask a lot of questions about the upcoming opponent. He said a lot of times, these were Brent's words. Brent said a lot of times we talk about the previous week and, you know, talk about, you know, just maybe, you know, feature stories. But he knew we were going to talk a lot about the upcoming opponent. And I think he wanted to make sure nothing was said. I think he was really guarded. So that was the reason why. But, you know, but those, I think we asked those four players a lot, you know, what do you tell these new players about, you know, what to expect? And I thought that a lot of them had a lot of interesting answers.
Yeah. I mean, it goes down to, there's two different sides of the spectrum, right? One is enjoy the game, because, you know, you never know, like, you may never play in a game like this again, especially for some of these transfers that are older guys, that this might be their first and only season in Oklahoma. So one, enjoy the game, but they're also telling these guys, of course, you know, don't get caught up. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. You got to take it in a sense like every other game and just play the next play. And, you know, I have every confidence that that's gonna happen. But at the same time, you know, right, sometimes this is a game that exposes you. I mean, it just happens, whether it's breakdowns in communication on the defense, or it's, you know, exploiting a position that you thought was maybe strong, but maybe isn't as good as you think it is. You know, bad stuff will happen, and it's going to be all about how these OU players, you know, react to that and rebound in a big game like this.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about what happens this weekend. What does Oklahoma, in your opinion, and then I'll give my opinion afterwards too, what do you think Oklahoma has to do well on Saturday to walk out 3 o'clock Saturday afternoon with a win?
Yeah, we've mentioned it. I think it's run the ball. You look at the games, the 15 games. OU's won 15 of the 23 games since 2000. You look at those games, they've averaged it's about 211 yards per game. They have to be able to run the ball. I believe the SMU game is the only game this season where they've run for over 200 yards. They have to be more balanced as an offense this week. It can't all be on Dylan Gabriel's shoulders. He's shouldering the brunt of it, not just trying, you know, he's throwing for 300 yards almost every game, but he's also, you know, rushing. He had the 30 yards and two rushing touchdowns last week. He's making it happen on the ground as well. It can't all be on his shoulders. You know, he has to have a good running game to go with it. And so you need OU's offensive line to find something here, whether it's, you know, maybe they've found a scheme that they think will work better against Texas and what they've been showing so far, or the offensive linemen just need to clean up on their technique and you know, run the place the right way with the right kind of intention and physicality. You know, those things are going to be paramount. So yeah, I think definitely it's running the ball.
I'm going to go with, I agree with you 100% on running the ball. That you stole my answer, honestly. That was
hard.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'll go with the takeaways. I think it's still going to be important to get additional opportunities for your offense. I think that's going to be important, winning the turnover battle, which Oklahoma has done really effectively this year. I think they're going to have to turn Texas over, find ways to, you know, pressure yours into making some mistakes, which they weren't able to do last year, of course. I think that's going to be important, you know, kind of disguise some things. Maybe there's some things that Venables hasn't shown on defense that they're going to have some tricks up their sleeve for Texas. We'll see if that's the case. I think that's going to be important. I think also try to find some hidden yards. Now, something we haven't mentioned is Texas, again, is one of the best special teams play. One of the best in net punting yards. They find a way to win those hidden yards. If you're Oklahoma, try to flip that a little bit. Win the field position battle. You got a really, really good weapon in Peyton Bowen. We've seen that with the punt blocks. One thing we haven't seen this year is any fake punts or fake field goals. We haven't seen that. We saw that last year. Does Oklahoma have a trick up their sleeve that way? So, you know, you don't want to depend on gadgets, but you have those, you know, we've seen that last year, and I'm sure Texas is aware of it. I mean, is that going to happen in this game? You know, big plays, field position swaps and everything. I think that's going to be huge. Those hidden yards. I think that's going to be key in this game. Something else, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit because I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this question, but if there's a player, offense or defense, that we haven't seen lately, like someone that we haven't talked about, haven't seen lately, that can make an impact in this game, I'll go first, so I'll let you think about this question a little bit, that might make an impact in this game, who would it be? The player, I was asked this question, I did something with the Orange Bloods earlier this week. The player I'm going with is Gavin Freeman. I just think, you know, I think we saw his punt return early in the season. I just think, you know, I think he's due for a big play, a big special teams play. I think someone like him could probably make a big special teams play. I just think, you know, within the offense, I think he's someone that can make a play. I think he's due. He's got that big play capability. And he's someone we just haven't talked about. I think that, you know, it's just one of those things where I think he's due for a big play, and someone we haven't said his name lately, but he's someone who can make a play. I'm going to keep an eye on get someone like Gavin Freeman this weekend. What about you? Is there anyone out there that we haven't talked about lately that you think could make a big play in a game like this?
I think that's a great pick on offense. I'll think defense. And I would say Rondell Bothroyd. You mentioned him earlier. He's been really, really good. You know, he's just at doing the fundamentals of his job at keeping the edge, and he's been getting some pressure, but I don't believe he has a sack yet. I think he had one against Cincinnati that got taken away by penalty. You know, maybe this is the game where he finally gets in the backfield and gets yours. I just think, you know, that's what OU brought him in to do. He was so good at it again. Well, he was at Wake Forest. And so maybe this is the game where he really brings the heat and shows something, shows that, you know, he was really a value addition for this OU defense.
All right. Well, we're heading to Dallas. I'm looking forward to it. We'll have a full house in Dallas. Myself, Mason, Bill Haston, our columnist, John Shin, who is a correspondent, is going to be down there helping with our Tulsa World coverage. Mike Simons, our award-winning photographer, will be down there with us. Nate Fakin, who's part of our video crew. So we'll have a ton of coverage from down at the is it Red River Rivalry, Red River Showdown, Red River something. I forgot what the official name of this. Do you remember what the name of it is now?
They switched it back to Rivalry this year.
Okay. It switches every year, it seems like. But we'll be down there. We'll have a ton of coverage in Sunday's newspaper going into the off week. So we really appreciate all all the followers. We appreciate it. Be sure and pick up a Tulsa World on Sunday. As always, the podcast, you can follow us at TulsaWorld.com, OU Sports Extra, and whatever platform you follow us on on the podcast, Google, Spotify, Apple. We appreciate it. Everyone out there, have a good week and enjoy the game on Saturday.